Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Brewers Outlet Day, everybody.
That's right. We made it to Friday.
And great to have you on board with us.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report today. Looking forward to it. How's everybody doing? Hope you're all doing well. And our show is brought to you today by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's going to be another hot, humid weekend. May have some people over this weekend. Maybe you're going out. Maybe after a round of golf or whatever you're doing, to kick back, have a little brew. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere bar none. And wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. Bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar is second to none. As you know, I love the barrels and the dills. Can't get enough of them. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. There you go. So, great to have you with us. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report today. Looking forward to that. Rich Scarsella today. Looking forward to that. We'll have Tony on at 3:35, unless there's some dramatic change in the schedule here. And Rich at 4:06, unless there's some dramatic change in the schedule. The Tom Verducci article on baseball is, to me, there's several fascinating things to get to here. Let's take them in order here. Of course, a lot's going to be made of Bill Belichick and his response to the Garoppolo story. Again, that's just simplistic. Who cares? I mean, very simplistic stuff. You know, if Garoppolo's really great in the first four games, will Brady get his job back? And, of course, you know, in Boston, they'll spend the next 36 hours discussing it. Use some common sense. I mean, Now, let's get to other items. Big 12 expansion. Wow, are they pandering. They might go by two, they might go by four, and they might have the expansion done before the season, because I don't think they want this to drag into the season. Because you have several intriguing teams, but the American Conference is having their football media day coming up. There will be very few questions about football. I talked with Brandon Bell and Brian Gaia the other day. I didn't get a chance to talk to Naeem Wortman. And I talked to James Franklin as well. But I'll give you the player's perspective in particular. You know what really frustrated them in Chicago? What really frustrated the players in Chicago is they weren't asked about football. And you're a player, you're a student. You know, you're not expected to be anything more than that. And they get asked all sorts of things about what's going on around here. They just want to play. They want to get ready for the season. That's what they're looking forward to. They want to get their classes done, things like that. That's what they want to do. And Brandon and Brian were both frustrated by the fact that they said, we didn't get a lot of football questions. Okay. I can completely understand where they're coming from. Well, that's, you know, the Big 12 now is in this pandering mode. You know, and that was my addendum to the Brady thing, by the way. That, you know, the question of the Garoppolo question is a football question. I will admit that. But you're asking Bill Belichick that question, and Tom Brady's led you to how many Super Bowls, and by the way, is coming off a great season. The question makes no sense. It makes no sense. But they'll spend the next 36 to 48 hours in Boston radio talking about it. Because that's the way it is.
You would think it's getting to the point up there that you got journalists going after each other. Yes, I'm going to be the one that finally cracks the caper, busts the nut. We finally got to Belichick, but that's just not how they roll up there.
No, it's not. It's not. But the Big 12 now, you have a lot of pandering going on by people who follow. East Carolina is putting a full-court press on the Big 12 to get them in. The governor of North Carolina is involved. The attorney general in North Carolina is involved. Fred Smith, the CEO of FedEx, is deeply involved trying to get Memphis in. But there are certain ones that make sense. At the American, they're not going to ask Mike Oresko many football questions. Mostly, he's the commissioner of the American. And he's going to be asked about losing schools. 10 of his 12 schools have been mentioned as possibilities for the Big 12. And let's face it, if you're in that position as a school, you have to feel that this is one of the final chances to ascend to a Power 5 conference. And that's why this is intriguing. This is one of the last chances to do that. So for the Cincinnati's, the UConn's, Memphis, Central Florida, Houston, SMU, BYU, East Carolina, you know, Tulane, whomever it may be, this is one of the last chances to do it.
Yeah, what is it with East Carolina? That's just the one college the last day or so. It's like the kid in the classroom that's got the right answer, pick me, pick me, pick me, jumping up and down out of their chair.
And that's why if I'm Bob Bowlesby, I give them a call and say, look, you want to make an application, apply. You want to talk about this to anybody, you talk to me. You do not do a public campaign. Don't do it. Let me know what you have. Let me know what you add to the conference and how we add to you. The only one of the group that has any significant football tradition is BYU. They're the only ones that have a significant football tradition, BYU. Houston has the market. Now, when Bill Yeoman was the coach at Houston and they ran the Veer, really had a nice program. I remember 1977, Penn State beat them at Beaver Stadium. They had Danny Davis at quarterback. Bill Yeoman was the coach. And that was a big win for Penn State in 77. They kind of signaled how the next couple of years was going to go for Penn State. Penn State in that span went 22-2, losing only to Alabama and to Kentucky. That was it. So that was a big win for Penn State. But Houston, of course, in recent years has been and also ran. But they bring with them the market. They have the market. It's the fifth largest TV market in the country. So they bring that to the table. Central Florida is that up-and-coming area. Orlando is a growth area. And on top of it, they have a brand-new stadium there, basketball program, the whole deal. East Carolina and Greenville, yes, I have done a basketball game there. I am well aware of what they have. I've actually been to their football stadium. I've done a game in their arena. I know a little bit about the market. You don't fly into Greenville, you fly into Kinston. I got it. Okay. But remember, one of the final straws that broke the Big East back was when the Big East was going to add East Carolina and Tulane. And that is when the Catholic schools that don't play football said, that's it, we're out of here. They said, that, you know, they said that you're, now you're dragging down the product. That's why they, that was the last straw where they broke away. So just file that away. SMU brings with it academics, but also a lot of scandal. And I mean, they're on probation now in basketball. Memphis, great market, big time arena. You can play in the Liberty Bowl, and you get a lot of money behind you, without question, with Fred Smith and FedEx. A lot of money. So that's big, but the pandering, and this is really, this Big 12 expansion thing is going to play out over the next 3.5-4 weeks. This is not going to be a long-term thing. The Big 12 really is, from the outside looking in, has really botched this up. You sit down in 2015 in May at the meeting and say, look, guys, let's just keep it to ourselves. It doesn't leave this room, but let's consider expanding to 12 or 14 teams. I'm going to give you some fact sheets. I want you guys to get back to me in 6 to 9 months. I want you to take a look at it, fill it out. If you, you know, A, do you think we should expand? And if we do expand, which programs do you think are ones that are worthy of it? And here are some fact sheets on 10 of them. All right? And then you come back in the May meeting, and then you sit down with everybody, and you look around and say, okay, now we've had a long, hard look at this, and you guys have sent stuff back to me. So you feel that these are the best fits for the, first of all, A, you've said you want to expand. And you've looked at the financials that we have. The expansion could be good. Okay. All right. Now I've looked at who you want. You think we should invite, let's just pick two, BYU, that we should go to four teams. And looks like most of you think BYU is one of them. I mean, that's how it should have been handled. Not like this. This is a mess. The mess. Interesting. All right. What do players say is the toughest stadium in the Big Ten to play in? We'll tell you about that in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place. The Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Great to have you with us. All right. They did a quick poll of players, Big Ten. What's the toughest stadium to play in the Big Ten? Aha, Beaver Stadium, yes. Good guess, everybody. Good guess. Beaver Stadium. How about that? It received 6 votes. 5 votes to Nebraska, then in third place it was Wisconsin and Ohio State. One player said he put his hand in the ground for a play. Okay? And guess what? He said the ground shook. That's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive. That's real. I mean, let's face it. It's really, really something. Now, Nebraska's different. Nebraska, when you go to Nebraska, you know what's really cool about that place? Is when you go there, and the game's over with, the fans in the over the tunnel give the opposing team a standing ovation. I'm sorry, that to me is special. That's special. I mean, that's really... really special to see that. Yeah. I don't know, there's just, it's just, to me, it's a feel of camaraderie, sportsmanship, whatever. That's different. And that's something that's always impressed me.
And they give an ovation for the team and that at the end of the game, too, going back into the tunnel.
I mean, exactly. They do. This is what they do all the time. It's just you have to. You can't put a price on that. I think that's great. I really do. And Ohio State and Wisconsin also got votes, but that's who number one was. Tony DeFazio is going to join us. Next half hour, then Rich Scarcella at 4:06. Final half hour, Tom Verducci on baseball. What to do with the game that we love. And I love baseball. I think everybody knows that. And I sit there and I look at the game and Verducci makes a really great point. Baseball is the one sport where in football, I don't care if it's college or pro, how many times do you see a game come down to the two-minute drill? In basketball, how many times do you see a game come down to the final 2 minutes? And hockey. The game comes down sometimes to the goalie being pulled. Now, the goal may not be scored, but how frenetic are the final 90 seconds? In baseball, scoring goes down the last third of the game by 15%. Wow. Strikeouts go up 23% in the last three innings of games. Something has to change.
Lincoln Motor Company invites you to discover how exhilarating 400 horsepower can give you serenity. To experience how an available 360-degree camera can change your perspective. And to see how Auto Hold can relax you a little more behind the wheel in stop-and-go traffic. Because we just don't think about what a car can do, but rather what it can do for you. We call it the more human side of engineering. Discover what a Lincoln can do for you. The Lincoln Summer Invitation Sales Event is on, where you'll find exceptional offers on the Lincoln family of luxury vehicles. The Lincoln MKX, the Lincoln Small Utility MKC, the iconic Navigator, and the 2017 Lincoln MKZ. The Lincoln Summer Invitation. Make a summer memory today. Visit Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, or visit them at sunburylincoln.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks. Peanuts are roasted fresh and out every day. Plenty of snacks. And the pickle bar, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up tonight. Tell them that Sean and I sent you. In fact, Sean says if you put one aside for him, that'd be great. Okay.
All right. You betcha.
Yeah, of course you are, Julie. All right, this day in sports history, 1940, John Sigmund of St. Louis, Missouri, completed a 292-mile swim down the Mississippi River. The swim from St. Louis to Caruthersville, Missouri, took him 89 hours and 48 minutes. Wow. 1983, Steve Garvey of the Dodgers set a National League record by playing in his 1,207th consecutive game. 2003, Bill Miller of the Red Sox became the first player in Major League history to hit a grand slam from each side of the plate in a game. Now, players have hit home runs from each side of the plate in the game. I mean, Eddie Murray and Mickey Mantle, they've done it. But grand slams? He had a grand slam from each side of the plate. He had a total of three home runs in the game, so the other one was a solo shot. He knocked in nine runs. It was only the 12th time ever that a player hit two grand slams in a single game, but the first time that they hit one from each side of the plate. Miller was critical to the Red Sox winning that 2004 World Series. He's the one that got the base hit that drove in Dave Roberts. And in the infamous game where Jason Varitek took his glove and shoved it into the face of A-Rod, it was the same season. Guess who won the game with a home run off Mariano Rivera? Bill Miller. For whatever reason, Bill Miller always could hit Mariano Rivera. I don't know why. But who knows? He could. He's a good player with the Giants, too, before that. All right, let's bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. First of all, Tony, from us to you, congratulations. We understand you're the only other person that has Le'Veon Bell's cell number.
Yeah, that's a pretty rare thing to have that number, I guess, right?
Well, evidently his agent, the NFL, and most people don't have it.
I guess not.
What an odd situation.
It's an extremely odd situation, and there's a little bit of oddity on the NFL's end in that they confirmed the suspension, which is a violation of their own policy.
Right.
But, you know, that's how the NFL works, and I suppose we should be used to that. And the other side of that is, you know, you don't want to get, at least if you're Le'Veon Bell or his agent, it's a little bit tricky and not the best look to get into the area where, when you do something bad, you start pointing fingers and saying, well, they did something bad too. You know, that typically doesn't play very well. And I also want to add this. Le'Veon Bell was a lot less confident and a lot more contrite yesterday than he was in June when this was first brought up, and then obviously on social media when he was very outspoken and very confident that he wouldn't miss any games. Now, I would imagine that his agent and the Steelers probably talked to him and told him to, you know, to play down the macho guy aspect of this whole thing. But, you know, he's the only one that seems to have any sense of confidence that he's going to play. You know, even some of his teammates, none of them said anything. All the words were good and supportive, but the body language, and you could just sort of, you know, hear some disappointment in their voice. And, see, that's no way to start out a season where the goal from the first guy in the organization all the way down to the last is to win the Super Bowl. That's what their goal is this year, and this is not the way to start a season like that.
Well, I mean, I heard several players say, look, we're going to have to get by without for four games without him. I mean, they're resigned to it. I mean, the only one that seems to be pretty confident he might play is him.
Yeah, you know, and again, that confidence was ratcheted down quite a bit yesterday as well. It was pretty easy for him to be confident when he was just typing into a phone or a tablet or whatever the case may be. When he was out there in front of the cameras, that was a little bit different. So, we talked about this last week. I think the level of disappointment is just through the roof right now because this is a guy that the Steelers really were hoping to hitch their wagons to. It's one thing to battle injuries. That happens when you play the game of football.
Sure.
And he certainly had those. But it's another thing to throw the injuries on top of something that is 100% self-inflicted. And both of the, you know, both of the the guys on the offense, really, there's three main guys on this offense that are missing. One is Ladarius Green recovering from a surgery. The other two are missing because of self-inflicted wounds. And that, like I said, that's not a good sign for a team that wants to win at all.
All right, Antonio Brown, he's there. He has 2 years remaining on this contract. So, what's the general view on that?
Well, you know, typically, obviously he wants, to get paid like everybody does. The thing about Brown is he's one of those guys that is very outspoken, but it's almost similar to the way Hines Ward was, Steve, in that, he talks a lot, but because he brings it every day, because he's such a pro between the lines and during practice and before practice and after practice and all that stuff, that players, tend to just sort of roll their eyes, shake their head, and go about their business and not really worry about what he's saying or all that sort of thing. Brown's an extremely hardworking guy. I think the Steelers recognize that, and I think he'll get paid. I really do. I don't know if anything will happen before this season starts. I think right now there's a couple other guys that they're looking at, specifically Lawrence Timmons, whose contract is up after the season. But Brown will get paid. I think the Steelers, he's so popular. And again, you look at Martavis Bryant's a guy who certainly there's not a whole lot of confidence in him. And Marcus Wheaton's contract is also up. I think they'd rather go ahead and pay Brown than because Marcus Wheaton's going to probably end up getting a pretty decent contract too. I do think Brown will get paid. It just may not be right away. Or as soon as he wants, certainly.
Right, exactly. And they'll go from there. What's the general tone and tenor of the camp? Obviously, everybody's optimistic at this time of the year, but this team's a little different spot than everybody else, and nobody's going to ask Mike Tomlin that if Landry Jones has an awesome camp that didn't really right. take Ben Roethlisberger's job.
Right. I think, like you said, the confidence is pretty high. The bell thing is clearly, that dominated talk yesterday. It was pretty deep into Mike Tomlin's press conference before he got to another topic. Everybody was answering that question. So Bell talked about not wanting to be a distraction. Well, it's too late. He is a distraction right now and probably will continue to be, because even though the local guys got their questions in, there's some guys who are there every day. Those guys asked their questions yesterday, but there are guys who show up once a week. They're still coming. The national media is still coming. So this is not going to go away anytime soon. It's no. dominating the talk. But there is an underlying feeling that, this all falls on Ben Roethlisberger's shoulders anyway, offensively. And can they get by for four games without Bell? Probably. They did last year. They can probably do it again this year. Yeah. Not ideal, but I still think that confidence and even the media's belief in this team is pretty high.
The Pirates coming off their series with Seattle, moving forward, coming off their series with Philadelphia, so forth. It feels like they're treading water. Do you feel like they're treading water?
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, I don't know how they are so close to that second wild card right now. I didn't see where they were this morning. It was a game and a half the other day.
Because everybody else is treading water.
Yeah. But the thing is, Steve, unless the starting pitching improves in a relatively big way, I just can't see this team making the playoffs. Now, that may happen. It's hard to believe that they're going to get a huge boost internally, so they may have to make a move and go out there and get a veteran. But that having been said, the only difference-making guys are probably going to come at a cost that the Pirates are not willing to pay. So we're back to the internal discussions again. It looked like Francisco Liriano was on the right track, and then he has maybe his worst outing of the year the other day against Seattle. Jameson Taillon has been consistent, but we're talking about a 24-year-old kid whose major league experience is still in single digits. What you're going to get from Garrett Cole, but again, Garrett Cole can go out and throw a complete game every fifth day. They need more people to be, to at least get to the seventh inning, sixth inning, and they're just not getting that. So, I don't have a whole lot of confidence that a big move is going to happen, simply because I think, like I said before, the difference makers are going to come at a price that the Pirates are not willing to pay.
Right. The problem is you've got three guys that pitch their way into the bullpen.
Right. That's 60% of their rotation.
I mean, 60% of their rotation brilliantly pitched their way into the bullpen.
Yeah, you know, that is not exactly how the plan was at the beginning of the season. The plan was for maybe one of those guys to end up in the bullpen and a couple of young guys to come up and take their, you know, force them into the bullpen. Well, it didn't happen. It happened, you know, the other way around. They forced some of these young guys to have to pitch because the veterans were so bad. So there is a bit of a silver lining. To me, there's never anything wrong with young guys being thrown in there, right, you know, putting them in the deep end and having them get some experience, because next year when they are part of the rotation, they're going to have something to fall back on. They've been through some battles, and they've been through the tough times. I think it's just as important to go out there and get knocked around as it is to go out there and have success. Now, you don't want that to happen every single time, obviously, right, but, you know, you want to know how a guy is going to respond, you know, when the bases are loaded and there's nobody out. And they've been in those situations before, so at least they're getting to do that, I suppose. That would be my version of a silver lining.
Right, and they've got Milwaukee coming up, and they fared better against them. But tonight they're going with, well, I mean, Brault's going to get the ball tonight.
Yep. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff we're talking about. I mean,
Steven Brault, go get him.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's nice, like I said, I think it's nice to give those guys some of that experience, but that's not how, you know, this was supposed to be the Glasnow's and the Tyones getting this experience right now, not guys like Brault or even Chad Kuhl. So that's where they are, and that's the problem, because that's, you know, if that's their internal answer, that certainly isn't ideal. That's nothing against Steven Brault. He's just, this is not where he's supposed to be at this point in his career.
No, he's not. Non-waiver trades are coming up, but you and I both know, Tony, there just are not what you would call attractive names out there. There's not a David Price, Troy Tulowitzki, hey, how can you believe what we just did deal out there?
Right.
There just isn't.
Right, and even some of the guys, you know, Chris Archer from Tampa Bay,
yeah,
he's supposed to be, you know, he's had a good, you know, he's had some decent years in the past. His numbers are not any better than some of the guys that have pitched their way into the bullpen in Pittsburgh, at least this year. So, and that's still going to be a pretty high price to get a guy like that. So, yeah, you know, that's why I just don't see a blockbuster move happening. You know, maybe they try to bring in a guy at a cheap cost and catch lightning in a bottle like they sort of did with Jay Happ last year. But, you know, their luck has kind of run out, it seems like, at least this year, in trying to uncover those kind of gems. So it's going to be interesting. They're going to need some help from some other teams, in my opinion, if they're going to want to make a fourth postseason.
Actually, the team that right now is that they're going to be playing tonight, actually, they hold a card that some teams may want, and that's Ryan
yep.
Braun. And I don't know if Ryan Braun makes the weekend there.
You know, they could move a few guys. This could be a really interesting weekend in Milwaukee. I was laughing that I had this discussion with one of our beat writers. Sometimes when you get a team that unloads like that for maybe a series or two,
right,
you get guys you never heard of who come up, and all of a sudden they go 5-1, you know, with a bunch of AAA or 4A guys, and that's just what the Pirates don't need. But it could be one of those kind of weekends where all kind of guys get moved and guys get pulled out of games and that whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, Luke Roy, a lot of people seem to want him, and then Ryan Braun. I mean, some team may want him. Yes, there's nothing like the trade deadline. There's no hockey news, so that's it. We're done. All right.
That sounds good. Sounds good to me. And you know what? The way the news is going for sports fans, Pittsburgh fans are happy there's no hockey news.
Yeah, there's no hockey right now. It's all good. It's 90 degrees out. The ice melted. We're done.
All right. That's right.
Tony, have a great weekend. I can't wait to talk to you next week.
Thanks, Steve. You too.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Rich Scarcella, next half hour. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
It's hot.
But nothing is as hot as the Red Hot.
Clear the lot.
Sales event at Sunbury Motors Ford.
Now through the end of July,
they have deals as hot as the Central PA sun.
Choose from over 240 new Fords that are clearly marked with sale prices that have melted to the lowest levels of the summer.
There's nothing hotter than the Ford F-150. SMC has over 125 new Ford trucks covering four city blocks with discounts up to 11 grand and starting at $22,749. Save up to $4,500 on new Ford Fusions that are priced as low as $18,915. And pick from Central PA's largest selection of new Ford Escapes. They start as low as $19,945. But you better hurry before the hot July sun sets on the Red Hawk. Clear the lot. Sales event at Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
It is always great to be with you. Best audience in the world. Let's see. The suit sent a story. Here we go. Suit sent a story.
That was actually me that sent it. But I got the scoop from the suit.
Bucknell to open 2019 season at Temple. There you go. They last played in 1970. Actually played each other for 44 straight years from 1927 to 1970. Winner receiving the old shoe, of which the suit has many.
That's the first thing I said to him. It's like, you're still going to be doing Bucknell games with Doug Birdsong in 2019? And he paused. Then left the room. And I'm like, well, are you? The retirement account figures were starting to trickle into his head. He was starting to calculate on the fly.
The suit. I mean, there's a reason he's the suit.
What else is he going to do on a Saturday?
Cash is just rolling in. Like, all this other stuff's a hobby to him. Bucknell will open the season this year with Marist. That should be a good game on the road in Poughkeepsie. Their home opener will be the 17th when they get Cornell. That's going to be a really good game. It's a 6 o'clock kick at Mathewson Stadium. My respect for Joe Susan is very, very high.
You were talking earlier in the show about the Penn State players that were with Coach Franklin out in Chicago at Big Ten Media Days. And as you're talking about that, the first thing I thought of was last year. The suit and I, we had a chance to go to some Bucknell football luncheons last year. And It was just so refreshing. Two different football players joined Coach every Wednesday. And It was not just football questions, but what they're doing in the classroom.
Right.
They love to do outside of the classroom to enhance their future careers. And it was just a great, refreshing change of pace to hear that.
Yeah. There are a lot of people in our area that make it the quarterback club every week. Because they stop by and they tell me. And that's how we handle it. You know, a little bit on the game here and there, but mostly about them. Now, tell me about your family. Tell me about your parents. Tell me about your major. Why'd you get into that major? Areas of interest, things that you like to do away from the game. Things like that. So, yes, the suit, I can't believe the suit non-committal on the 2019 season. What is going on? Was he dropped on his head? What's happening here?
I thought he came around. When he came into the studio, he said, great news. And I said, you're knocking down the price of your racing tickets for Steve this weekend or what? That's the first thing I thought.
No. No. What's Wakeman saying? I can hear Wakeman in the background.
Yeah, she's going down the other end of the hall. I heard her, but didn't catch what she was saying.
Oh, okay. She's crushing the suit, I can tell.
Yeah.
But one way to advance your program forward at FCS is to schedule an Army like Bucknell did this year, schedule a Temple like they're doing in 2019. That helps push the entire program forward when you do something like that. It adds a level of excitement to what you're doing out there. And I think that's important. And it also, by adding to the competition level of it, Now, you put a lot of more juice in your camp when you do that, and you make your players better by doing that. So I think it's a great move.
Yeah, before you know it, we'll have Coach Susan on the show with his weekly appearances. Looking forward to that.
Just love it very much so.
Love it when you and him talk ball.
And the non-committal answer by the suit, I find disconcerting. I mean, I realize financially the suit has his own tower in Danville. It's called Suit Tower.
Right off of A Street, yeah.
You know, now he's into politics. I mean, sounds like somebody else we've heard of lately.